welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
I would like to speak just a short message on hope this morning. And we're going to hear a lot over Christmas. Andrea talked about peace. And at Christmas, those key words come up all the time, don't they? Peace, hope, love, joy. Those key words. Well, this morning, I do believe this is a message for you. So this is a message for all of our lives. It's a message of hope. Amen. Who needs that hope? Who needs, again, a refreshing on hope this morning? And again, that's what Christmas message and every day with God is all about. And I've entitled this message, Hoping in the Lord. And I'm not going to speak an in-depth analysis of hope and exactly what it means. But what I would like to just encourage you with this morning is, how do we hope in the Lord? Because we all know that it's right to put our hope in the Lord. But how do we do that? When the cookies are crumbling and things are falling and the plates are spinning and maybe some of them are crashing and the storms are raging and all of those things, and we know our hope is in the Lord, but really, what does that practically mean? And if we can just understand how simple this is, it gives us an anchor to hold on to every time, and then to bring us into a place of security, stability, and safety, that when that storm is passed, the answer is revealed. Amen. Well, Jeremiah 17, verse 7, very famous piece of scripture, just to set this up. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. And I think that's very interesting. It doesn't even say his hope is in the Lord. It says his hope is the Lord. So first of all, we've got to understand that it's speaking about a person. Hope is speaking about a person. Isn't that right? And we know who that person is. So blessed is the man whose hope is the Lord. 1 Timothy 1, verse 1, Paul answers this. He says, Paul, as an apostle of Jesus, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. So there you have it. That's what our hope is, and that's who our hope is. So we are speaking not of a nebulous thing, and we're not speaking of natural hope this morning. So you need to separate right now in your brain the human word and meaning of hope, which is like a wish. I want, I would like, I hope, I really desperately hope. And it's so easy to, as humans, to be in that kind of hope. And that hope only disappoints. That hope has no foundation to it. And that hope is human hope. And therefore, it will always ultimately fail you. And when it fails, it leads to greatest disappointment in your life. Because hope deferred makes the heart sick. And when human hope fails, maybe you've thought you've been hoping in the right things. Maybe you thought all along you've been in hope. And really, you can get to a place, and I think we've all been there, and probably learned these lessons throughout life many times, that, hang on, am I in biblical hope? Because biblical hope means something entirely different to human hope. So biblical hope speaks of a person. That person is Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ. The Bible says, do not put your confidence in man. We can't even hope in each other. We can't hope in our spouse. We can't hope in our employer. We can't hope in seasons. We can't hope in circumstances. There's only one thing, person, we can hope in, and it's Jesus. And anything, therefore, that doesn't line up with Jesus, and that's where I'm getting to this morning, because I think every one of you know that our hope is Jesus, but we're going to look practically at what that means. Anything that doesn't line up with Jesus, that's not hope. In fact, that's wasting your time and bringing you into false hope and setting you up for the greatest heartache of life, hope deferred. So it's based on Jesus. It's based on who he is and all of those things. Now, again, making this practical this morning, how do we hope in Jesus? How do we hope in the Lord? When we've got these situations going on and we need God's answer, we need direction, we need breakthrough, we need strength, refreshing, all of whatever it is, how do we do it? Well, it's simple in one sense, because again, I love the way the Bible is so simple. It doesn't complicate. It doesn't give you many answers for one thing. Choose one. It doesn't say, well, it's a multiple choice. It's A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, and make sure you get the right one. God will always just show you the answer. He will just give you, it's one. He will give you singular direction so that we can see it and never miss it every time. So hope, hoping in Jesus, what does that mean? I want to turn to two very famous portions of Scripture. Well, maybe for time, I'll just quote one. Let's turn to Hebrews 11, verse 1. So we know this. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. All right? So now we're starting to put detail on what hoping in Jesus means. How do we do that? It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Now, put up your hand if you've heard that scripture before. We all have heard it and know it. That is directly linked to how we hope in Jesus. It's faith. Now, not only faith, we're not just going to leave it there, because faith comes down to one thing, one major thing. It says that Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the... So therefore, if faith is the substance of hope, right? Faith is what makes biblical hope up. So faith is the substance of biblical hope. So if we then know what makes up faith, we know exactly what hope stands on. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Hallelujah. So therefore, we can say we hope in the Word. Jesus is the Word. He is the capital Word. He is our hope. The Word, He is the Word, and the Word is our hope. So now we can move straight into this, and we can look at every patriarch or matriarch or apostle or person in the Bible that walked this earth and went through the circumstances that you're facing right now and I'm facing, and you know what? Many times a lot worse. And they were able to hope in the Lord through the Word. Even in the Old Testament, when Jesus hadn't been revealed as we know him, they were still able to hope in the Lord. Because look, our first scripture was an Old Testament scripture, Jeremiah 17. It said, blessed is the man whose hope is the Lord. And that Lord refers to Jesus Christ. It refers to the Son of God. Every time you see that word Lord, it's speaking not of God the Father, it's speaking of Jesus. And that Old Testament. So they were able to somehow hope in Jesus through the Word. Amen. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? So therefore, God has not left you helpless in your situation this morning. Now think of it. As we just go through some quick examples, if then your hope is found in the Word, it is God's greatest desire to speak a word in season right into your situation. It is God's number one leading to bring you to a rhema scripture for your situation. It's God's number one means to help you to bring you to his Word in your Bible reading, or to get as much of that Word into your life that it can come back into your remembrance. Whichever way it comes, it has to be the Word to come into your heart for the circumstance you're facing, for hope, biblical hope, to become activated. Because faith without works is dead, isn't that right? So the fact that the Bible declares it and your Bible is on your shelf, or you know the word, but you're actually not walking in it and doing anything about it, then that faith is inactive and hope has nothing to put its feet on. But when the word in active word, that's what faith is, word in action. When that is in your life for the situation you're going through, that's what gives you the anchor. And that's what will bring, no matter how long you've got to wait for it, that's what will bring the answer that you've been depending on through His Word. Amen. So faith in action. Hallelujah. So faith in action is what our hope is. We're going to look at a few scriptures here. Isaiah 45 verse 11. The reason why we can hope in God's Word is because God can never, ever lie. Now, the greatest thing is knowing that it's the integrity of His Word that brings us the hope, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by His Word. I'll go to Titus 1 verse 2 first. It says, hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised. So we are actually putting our hope in a Word given by God, who cannot lie. So therefore, it removes any doubt that if we stand on it and act on it, that it will not come to pass. It removes any doubt. It will come to pass. So if God has given you a promise, if He's given you a rhema word into your life, which always has to come back to a scriptural word, you know, a promise without scripture attached to it, that's empty. That is not God. And again, just to be practical this morning, I know a lot of us, sometimes we can attach our hope to prophetic words even that we've received. If you've received a prophetic word, maybe from an individual, and we put our hope in that, but if that is not attached to the Word of God, it's clear principles, scriptures of God that your heart witnesses to, and you can identify and witness, yes, that is the Word of God for that situation, then that's not hope. You have to have a word for it. So hope over this Christmas time. Find a word for your situation. So what I do every time is, after making many mistakes, like us all, because usually, well, many times it's the first thing I do now, is find a word for the situation. And don't do anything until you find a word. So that means you've got to go and pray. You've got to go into your bedroom or somewhere alone, and you've got to say, God, and cry before God, and take your issue and your circumstance and just lift it up before God, who knows it already. The Bible says that nothing is in your life that God doesn't already know. He knows it already, and He knows His answer for your problem. Isn't that great to know too? And He knows that His answer is based on a word. He has a scripture for your problem. So therefore, God knows your problem, knows the answer, and has a scripture for you. So we just have to find that. Faith comes by hearing. We've got to hear what God is saying, and God will direct us to a word, hearing by the word. So you'll be reading the Bible, and you'll be saying, God, I just need You right now. I've got a problem, a situation in my life. Because this word is the Holy Spirit breathed. It activates all your spiritual senses. All of the giftings within you are activated by the word. The supernatural, the spiritual giftings. It's activated by this. And when we're not in the word regularly, those giftings become dormant again. And again, we know that's true because we go through that. We go times when we're in the Word every day, and we go through dry times. But it's the Word that gives life, the Spirit of the Word that gives life. The letter kills, but it's the Spirit of the Word. That's Holy Spirit breathed. And when you're reading Scriptures, and when you're in prayer, and you're employing Scripture, it won't be long before God will, through the Scripture that you're reading, that He's directed you to, give you a word. Suddenly that verse, it'll be a verse, or it'll be a few verses. You don't have to read the whole Bible to get an answer to your problem. Isn't that good news as well? I think if I had to read the whole Bible every time, if I had to get an answer to a specific problem, I would never be there because I'd still be reading the Bible. You can read one verse and God will direct you to that verse. And because he's directed you to it, when you find it, it speaks literally. You say, yes, that is the word for my situation. And when you get that word, hold on to it, stand on it, and do what that word tells you to do. And hope for your situation rises up afresh. And even though you're still in the midst of that storm, suddenly you have an anchor. Because you've got a scripture now deep down in your heart, something to pray about every single day. And thank God that he's bringing that word to pass because he gave it to you. And you start to walk that out every day. And not only that, now you're looking for the answer. Could it be this person? Could it be this situation? You get up in the morning thinking, is this the day? Because this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Because what hope? Hope keeps you running. Hope keeps you alive. There are people that get to a place of literally giving up on life because hope has gone. Hope, literally, biblical hope will literally keep you alive at those darkest times. You need hope, and we need to know how to find it. So hope is always and only found in the Word, in the Lord, who is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was made flesh. That is Jesus. He is the Word, capital W. So that's where our hope is found. Amen? So when you get that verse or that scripture, and it can come many ways, but the main way that this comes, and I want to just help you, encourage you in hope this morning, it's through your reading of the Word. You cannot replace that. A Christian life cannot be without the reading of the Word. In fact, if it is without the reading of the word, there's the answer as to why you're in these situations. We're following our own logic. We're following our own way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is destruction. And remember, I've followed that in my life many times, and so have you. So if we want true biblical hope for our circumstance, get back to the Word. And it is as easy as a verse. So when you find that verse or that scripture, and you know that scripture lines up with the whole teaching of the Bible. Never take a scripture out of context. I'm not talking about that. But when God gives you a scripture, a verse, or a chapter for your situation, or he will give you an example from scripture. You might be going through a Hannah becomes your example to a woman. And God will remind you. He'll remind you of Hannah. Or he'll remind you of an experience through one of these men. Like I told you one time, God spoke to me the word Ziklag, King David at Ziklag. And because I knew that story, I went to the story. So God will speak to you. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. God's Word speaks to you. You will literally hear a voice jump off the page and hit your heart. And impact your spirit, and you will go, yes, I know this is a word in season for my situation right now. It's hearing it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word, and that's what hope is built on. When you hear it, it literally is like an audio system inside you. It's like you can only describe it when you've been there yourself. And you know, those who have heard that know what I'm talking about. You don't hear it with your natural ear, but it's like an internal voice, an internal audible voice that nothing can deny. God speaking to you. It's a leading. It's a knowing. These are ways that we can, it's a know. You just know. I know that that's for me. You know, the world has we have what we call a sixth sense. And even there, they know that people out there don't just depend on natural voice, that they have sixth sense, they have conscience, they've But when God speaks to you, He speaks through your all of your inner senses so strongly that you actually think you've heard an audible voice. That's the point. And many times in my life, I've thought I've heard literally an audible voice, but it's been through here. And that's what God will do, because He wants to speak to you. Prayer is about not speaking to God so much, but then waiting for God to speak to you. How many times in times of crisis do we go into our room and we cry before God, we tell Him everything that we need, and then when we finish that, we go out again. And we haven't waited to hear, because it's a two-way conversation. God is speaking to you right now, and God wants to lead you to His Word and speak to you. So when you hear it, you know it. Now, a few examples just from Scripture. Abraham, we know, was one of them. Romans 4, 18 to 21 tells us that Abraham hoped against hope. So remember I said at the start that biblical hope is completely opposite to natural hope. So there's an example for us. Abraham, the father of faith, it said he hoped against hope. And what that means was when all natural hope was exhausted, he was now well on in years, past him and Sarah, past childbearing age. And Abraham had biblical hope against the natural hope, which was gone. And it says that he believed what? The promise. There's biblical hope, the word that God had spoken to him. You see, God had spoken a promise to Abraham, hadn't he? That you will bear a son, Isaac. And because God had spoken a word to Abraham, Abraham was able to hope, to believe the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Abraham believed the promise. Amen. And he was able to believe it, remember, because he knew that even though Abraham was way on, nearly 100, he says, well, I know God can't lie. We've read that scripture already. God can't lie. So, okay, so what? I'm nearly 100. It's still going to come to pass. If you have been given a promise by God for your life that hasn't yet manifested, it means if you walk in that word, remember, faith without works is dead. So you can't sit back and wait for something to happen without walking in it. But Abraham walked in it. He walked by faith, the Bible says. So if you walk in the word, then if God has promised you something, no matter if you have to wait for it, if it tarries, it will come to pass. So 2020 could be your year for things to manifest in your life, as long as you walk and stay in hope, because you know that it will come to pass. That means there has to be a certain day when that will come to pass in your life. And there was a certain day for Abraham. He hoped in the word, because God cannot lie. Sarah was the same. Hebrews 11, verse 11, talked to us about Sarah, his wife. And again, it was linked to the word. Her hope was linked to the fact that God had spoken to her. She'd got a word from the Lord. Hebrews 11, verse 11, by faith Sarah also received strength to conceive seed. She bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. It wasn't empty hope. Amen? Hope in the word. Get a scripture. Get a word for your life. So if you've got a problem that you need the answer to, get a word from it. And when then you know you've got God's word, you know He has to fulfill it, because He's faithful. He cannot lie. Amen. Bringing it right up to our Christmas story, Mary was another one. Luke 1, verse 37 to 38. And the angel came, told Mary all of these amazing things were going to happen. She was going to conceive as a virgin and bear the Son of the Lord. And she said, well, verse 37, with God nothing shall be impossible. But when you look at the NIV translation of that same verse, it says, "For no word from God will ever fail." That's what Mary spoke to the angel. She said, "Okay, well, I know that if God has spoken this, then nothing's impossible. I know that no word from God will ever fail. So be it unto me according to your word." Amen? So we need to be Mary's this morning. Be it unto me according to your word, no matter your situation and your circumstance. And so Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let's hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Amen? So all comes back to the promiser and the promise of God. Get a promise. Get the word of God for your situation. Go and find it. And I remember it's so easy in the sense because it's even one verse. One word from God will change your life forever. I want to finish just with looking quickly at Psalm 119. And we'll close out with this great psalm. Because again, it's an Old Testament scripture. Psalm 119. And we see that God had given us this all throughout Scripture. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this is what our hope is built on. It's built on the Word. Psalm 119, does everybody know that that is the longest psalm in the Bible? Yes? Just give you a wee bit of background, Psalm 119. And I've told you that as a child, growing up in our home, sometimes when Dad turned to this, you could feel our heads sinking a wee bit because for our Saturday morning Bible readings or whatever, when all the kids wanted to get out and play, and if Dad turned to Psalm 119, it wasn't the most exciting thing as a child, the longest psalm in the Bible. And by the way, welcome to Pastor Keith Gurner visiting us this morning there at the back. It's not actually Pastor Keith, it's Brian Gurley. Brian, great to see you this morning. But if Pastor Keith ever needs a double, that's him right there. He can preach like him as well. So Psalm 119. But I started to fall in love with this psalm in my kind of late teens, early 20s. And I remember as well, we'll never forget the time I had to take my Uncle Hallam to Italy and deliver him safely to my aunt where he was going to stay. She was living there at the time for a while. And while I was in Italy with him, I was starting to read this psalm, and again, just from my circumstances then I was going through, it was, I'll never forget that. So Psalm 119, scholars hold Psalm 119 up as the preeminent psalm. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible. It's actually over twice the length of any other psalm. It's actually the average length of 24 psalms and shorter psalms. And that's Psalm 119. And when you go through it, you'll see these Hebrew letters. And what they stand for, it's the alphabet. So Psalm 119, it's built into octanes. So basically, you can read it so easily. An octane is 8 verses. And it's poetically structured in stanzas of 8 verses, all the way through from A, B, C, and D. And that's what those Hebrew letters. So basically, it's just split down in the alphabet. And they call it, the biblical scholars call it the ABC of God's Word. You can take it to a child, and if you will look at Psalm 119 and walk in it, it contains all there is to understanding and knowing how to walk in the Word of God. And that's why they call it the ABCs of the Word of God. So Psalm 119 has also another very famous rescue story attached to it, because there was a George Wishart, back in the old ages when people were on horseback and all of that. He was the Bishop of London at the time. And he was the bishop that had to attend the hangings. Sorry for a very morbid moment, but this ends up good. He was a bishop that had to attend the hangings. And as custom was at the time of the hangings, as a bishop, he was able to go to the condemned person and ask them, "What psalm would you like sung just before your execution?" Whilst they were there on the gallows with the rope around their neck. And he recalls a time, so this is factual, he recalls a time where he went to this person. He says, "What psalm would you like sung before your execution?" And the person very wisely said, Psalm 119. Give them a wee bit more time, right? So he says, okay. So they started to sing Psalm 119 to this guy who was on the scaffold. And you know what? His pardon arrived two-thirds of the way through the psalm. Isn't that amazing? So there was another person who loved Psalm 119 because it was so long. And you can just imagine that scene, the horseback, the rider, because, you know, had that horseback rider not arrived in time, he would have been sentenced. But what a great story, historical account right there. But Psalm 119, there are four verses, 49, 81, 114, and 147. It says, I hope in your word. That's what this is about. Psalm 119 is all about that. And let's just look at Psalm 119, verse 49. Do we have that to put up in Graham, verse 49? I hope in your word. It says, remember, remember, and this is beautiful. I want to leave you with this morning. Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. So there is a word that God will cause you to be able to hope on. What I love about this is it was God that brought David to this word. It was God that caused him to hope. It wasn't David that just found this word and decided to hope on it. It was God that gave him the word. And that's for your situation right now. As you go and you pray and you search, you ask God for a word, he will give you a word for your situation, which will cause you, which will enable you to hope, even against all hope for that situation. Remember the word to your servant, which you've caused me to hope. And verse 50 says, do you have verse 50 there, Graham? Is it easy to roll on? This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. So this is David was speaking out of a situation of affliction right now when he wrote that verse. He was in the midst of turmoil, affliction, whatever it was, and we know he faced some afflictions. I mean, great afflictions. And it says, in the midst of that affliction, remember the word to your servant that has caused me to hope. So God will give you that hope. He will give you that word in season. He will enable you to find it, and he will comfort you. So God is going to bring you comfort whilst you're going through the circumstance, and hope, which to finish with, Romans 5, verse 5, hope does not disappoint. So that means the answer is on its way. Amen? Just like Abraham, just like Sarah, just like Mary, though they waited for it, did it come to pass? Yes. You need a word from the Lord, hoping in the Lord. And for my life, that's the only thing at times I can do. And every time I've known that there's even been a scripture that's come, I've grabbed that scripture with all my strength, heart, and I've taken it and I've focused on it. And even I've had to go into my room and just pray and then say, Lord, show me. There was one that came to me recently, which was the Jeremiah 33. It says, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. That was a scripture that came to me recently for a situation I had no idea what to do. And I took that word and I knew that that was a word to give me hope in this situation. And so I took it and I said, God, okay, that's the word for me right now. So you're wanting to speak to me, Lord. Call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. So I took that scripture and I examined it in every translation I could find. I looked at the original. I searched because I knew God had given me the scripture to hope on. And when I examined it, and the Amplified talks about that these things which you don't know, they're there, they exist, but they're hidden out of view, and they're fenced off, and they're with other people. So maybe other people know. And so I went and I followed that word. And so I said, and I had that hope in my heart. I said, okay, this is the word for this situation. So I realized, God, I want you to show me this word. Because I don't know it. Your words told me I don't know it. But I says, God, you've got the angelic there. You can lead me with the angelic to find what you're trying to tell me. And your spirit can show me. So I just trusted it. And I said, okay, right, my eyes are going to be open. I'm being led because somebody, there's going to be a connection made because somebody knows this secret that God is trying to tell me. And that very night, I walked into a place and met this person. And that was a divine encounter. And from that, the thing that was the great and mighty thing that I didn't know that I needed for that situation was revealed in that conversation. And it was a chance, not a chance meeting. That meeting wouldn't have happened if I didn't physically put myself in the position to go and believe, right, God, I know that you're going to connect me to somebody here because of that word. So same for you. It comes from that word. God cannot fail. So we're going to close now. And I'm just going to read two scriptures where if you get that word from God, it will never fail. Every bit of it will come to pass. Here's what 1 Kings 8:56 said. There was not one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses, that did not come to pass. Isn't that awesome? Not one. Joshua 21:45. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Amen. So get a word. Get your word. Get a word in season. Get a scripture and stand on it. Look at it. Read it. Follow it. Examine it. Obey it. And stay it. And it will bring you through. And it will bring you until the answer comes. And the answer will always come. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word of hope and your word of victory and your word of comfort and your word of strength and encouragement. Lord, we thank you for all of our lives. You said that they that wait on the Lord, Lord, they will be strengthened. And we thank you, Lord, that they will rise up with wings. Lord, hope gives us legs to run. Lord God, it gives us means, for they shall run and not grow weary. Hallelujah. And I just thank you, Lord, for every life represented here in this church, here and those that aren't here, and my own life, Father. Lord, thank you for your message of hope. Even as we look at one of those words at Christmas time, that word hope. Father, hope. We thank you that hope will not disappoint. And I thank you for every situation, every circumstance. And even as a church, you are bringing us through into an open place, into a great place, into a new season, into a time of rejoicing and fulfillment in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for miracles being done in lives. Lord, we thank you for the miraculous opening up. Thank you, Lord, for giftings being activated. Thank you, Lord, for the prophetic being released in people's lives. Thank you, Lord, that, Lord, as they go and pray, as we go and pray, Lord, that we will hear your voice. Father, for we, your sheep, hear your voice. And faith comes by hearing. So, Lord, we ask you just to continue to lead us so that we can hear your voice. And, Lord, as we hear that voice, as we hear your word, help us to stand on it. And to run with it, and to run through a trip with it, and to leap over a wall with it, and to overcome every obstacle with it. For Lord, we thank you, for your word will never fail. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And all who hope in you will never fail. Blessed is the man whose hope is the Lord. Amen. God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that he will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.